You know, Senator, I woke up this morning and the first thing I thought about is today is the first day of Black History Month.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to do this, but I didn't know that we were going to have these very special guests here today who represent some of the historically Black colleges throughout America. And guess what I was thinking this morning? What quote I was thinking of?
What quote were you thinking of?
Well, the person. Let's start with the person first. I was thinking about Malcolm X.
Oh, wow, Malcolm.
Malcolm X, when I woke up this morning, I was thinking of the quote, "By any means necessary." And I hope the young guests that we have here understand, by any means necessary, you stand up for your Black power. By any means necessary, you do deny those who try to oppress you. By any means necessary, you make sure that you tell people who are trying to take away your power that they are wrong. By any means necessary, you stand up and you speak up and you speak loudly to make sure that no one denies you your full American heritage that everyone else has. By any means necessary, you recognize the people who have come before you. By any means necessary, you understand that not every smile is a smile, and there are people who will smile in your face and will work behind your back. By any means necessary, you understand the heritage and the shoulders of people who came before you and died for your freedom. By any means necessary, you work to maintain that freedom. By any means necessary, you keep talking about Ferguson, which I represent. By any means necessary, you talk about Charlottesville. By any means necessary, you talk about every single young Black man who has been killed by an officer. By any means necessary, you respect that Black woman who is loving you and nourishing you and giving you the strength that you need to move on. By any means necessary, by any means necessary, you get up, you wake up, you work hard, and you defy the impossible, because even amongst those smiles that we see, those cheers that we hear, there are enemies who are waiting to harm you. And by any means necessary, you fight against all of them. Senator, that's what I was thinking about this morning when I woke up. By any means necessary, Black people must rise up and fight their oppressors even when they work with their oppressors. I think this is the only time in history there are only three of us who are African American, but it's the most that there's ever been in the Senate.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm gonna tell you something, we have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said, we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist. You are in the Black Podcast with Phoenix and Williams. WineCellarMedia.com. Now, what do we got going on? We have the Green News Report. All right. Brought back the Green News Report for the program. Haven't played that in a while because during the primary and going into the general election, outlets like that just annoyed me, so I would not add that in as a bumper or like a short break period, but go ahead and swinging that back in. Sex workers' rights, of course, is going on here. Trans rights, Becky Lives Matter. Of course, I think we go full Emily on this one. We also have white on white crime, white bricks matter, white bricks matter. Can you dig it? All right. So, yeah, we get off into some shit in this fucking episode. All right. So, and of course you heard the extended trigger warning there. And, at the beginning, that, person that you heard is actually an elected official from Missouri. Her name is Maria Chappelle. Skibbidibbidoo. Ah, there it is. Maria Chappelle Nadal. And and she had a few words to say, and so I figured I'd go ahead and front load that on the program to get things started up. So let's get to it. Let's get a little wine cellar in. This episode is mostly me, and then Phoenix Kaliter comes in on the back end of the episode. All right, so we'll see what we're doing. Like, we got to kind of change up the broadcasting for the way things are, to match up with how things are going in our household right now. All right, so bear with us until we get to June, and then it's Phoenix full-time, and me part-time on the podcast while I'll be full-time at work. Let's get to it.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar. Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
Sign up at the $5 a month level. Looks like some gold membership.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
Now let's take a look here. This one's coming off of the Daily Beast. Very Democrat party-leaning outlet, the Daily Beast. And this one's put up by Don Ennis for the Daily Beast. And it's a white trans woman and a white cis woman. I don't really know these celebrities too well. Apparently this individual's name is Rose McGowan. Off mic, Phoenix Kaliter gave me some information on this individual. Fallon Matthew of FallonKitty.com told us we should check this story out. But I want to make sure that when we actually dig into, like, the genesis of the story, that Phoenix Kaliter is there to properly articulate it. All right, so, but this is just a little bit of an update coming from the Democrat Party outlet, The Daily Beast. And so it goes into Rose McGowan, who first went public with accusations against Harvey Weinstein, and whose campaigning became the focus of the hashtag MeToo movement. This individual tweeted out Friday that she is canceling all future engagements following a contentious confrontation with a transgender activist in New York City. And the and they actually have the tweet embedded here. The tweet goes as quoted, "I am canceling upcoming public appearances because I have given enough. I have given beauty." Fucking white women, cuz. Oh, man. Continuing with the quote, "I have given beauty. In return, I was verbally assaulted for 2 full minutes. God damn. All right, Wine Cellar Media, we are professionals. I was verbally assaulted for 2 full minutes by an actor paid to verbally assault a woman who has been terrorized by your system, and no one in that room did anything. I don't know why she capitalized the word one. Like, all caps, the word one. It's an awkward choice. Maybe it's artistic. You know what? Hey, artist choice. Continuing, Andy Dyer made headlines challenging Rose McGowan about transphobia and feminism on this past Wednesday. She told the Democrat outlet The Daily Beast, if given the chance, she'd confront the actor all over again, but do it better. And this Andy Dyer is the transgender white woman individual who flexed on the cisgender white woman individual, Rose McGowan. Continuing forward, a video of the shouting match between Dyer and McGowan at a Manhattan Barnes and Noble went viral, showing the women trading invectives with each other. And on Friday, McGowan turned her ire to the publicist, management, and even the audience at the event in another tweet, blaming them for their complicity. Well, here we go. Rose McGowan again on the Twitters. This is a tweet embedded in this website published from February 2nd. As quoted, I am canceling upcoming public appearances because I have given enough. I have given... Oh, that, wait, that's the one... wait, so another tweet continues on saying, and everyone from my publicists, tea assistants, managers, and every person sitting in their chairs frozen by their weakness, a weakness called complicity, all caps. The truth is, you all failed me again and again and again. This is an outstanding Becky Lives Matter story. Continuing with the article on the Daily Beast, Democrat outlet, Democrat-leaning, Democrat-biased outlet, quote, trans women are dying, and you said that we as trans women are not like regular women, end quote, from Dyer in the back of the room on that Wednesday night. Now, I don't want to go over all the quotes from it, because I actually want to go ahead and play the audio with Phoenix Kaleeder here. So we will continue on with that in the wine cellar. Now, within 50 seconds, security officers told Andy Dyer to leave, and they misgendered by calling her sir, then dragged her from the audience as she shouted white cis feminism. I respect that. After Andy Dyer was taken away, Rose McGowan broke down and flew into a rage. Ah, outstanding. Good, good, good. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and try to get Phoenix Kaleeder up in this fother mucker, and we can get down to the funky stuff.
I mean, Jesus was a white man too, but you know, it's like, he was a historical figure. I mean, that's a verifiable fact, as is Santa. I just want the kids watching to know that. Yes. But my point is, how do you just revise it, you know, in the middle of the legacy of the story and change Santa from white to black? Yeah.
And let's go ahead and head on down to South Africa and put the spotlight in Durban. And an individual named Vashti Jones, who is a 41-year-old Christian missionary and a founder of Anchors Hope, which is an organization that cares for, as this article says, street prostitutes, sex workers. All right. Now let's take a look here. Police have responded to Vashti Downs, saying that police are failing to investigate regular incidents of rape of young sex workers operating on Durban's beachfront. And the response from police are saying that it was not possible to investigate alleged rape cases if charges were not laid. But Vashti Downs argues that sex workers are turned away when they try to report a case. This is a quote. They are told prostitutes don't deserve the help that other rape victims get. They get thrown out of the police stations, so most girls don't even want to report what happens to them anymore. The humiliation of being rejected by police just adds to their trauma. end quote from Vashti Downs, a name we've covered before in these sex workers' rights stories. Continuing on with the article from IOL.co.za, Downs said the situation highlighted the precarious and dangerous life of sex workers. She has welcomed the recent ANC resolution to decriminalize prostitution in South Africa, but believes that a shift in people's attitudes towards sex workers is where real change is needed, particularly in the ranks of the police. Now, remember, the police are made up of, guess what? People, right? Because all it is a fucking job. All right, it's not like you're not David the Gnome, the fucking police person. All right, like it's just a fucking job. The main reason why every single person who puts on that uniform gets the job as cop is because they have bills to pay. That's the top reason. They don't have these fucking Batman fantasies of taking down the evil twisted Joker man. All right, people are cops because they want a fucking job. Tangent on that. Now, and as far as like the shifting attitudes things, thing makes me think of something that folks were riffing on. I think it was like white supremacy, racism, in a thread in the social, privately owned social networks, and somebody was like, "What's talking about it gonna do? The fuck you mean? What's talking about it gonna do? Like talking about it fucking plants the seeds of progress, if I may be using confusing metaphors, plants the seeds of progress into minds, especially with young people. All right, when I was young, my biological mother didn't shy away from that shit with me. She told me, like, if a woman's being raped, it's the only way she's gonna get someone to come help is if she yells fire. You know, my biological mother told me that shit, like, what, fucking, like, 1989? You know, I was just turning 6 years old that year. And you know what? I still had a childhood, all right? Informed children are still children. They're still gonna go play fucking freeze tag, all right? So, fucking, yes, talk about shit. Because that plants it into my fucking head. They're like, holy shit, that's what's going on with women and girls? They gotta deal with shit like that? And then it makes you start paying attention to other shit. All right. continuing on with the article from IOL.co.za. Downs has called on the city to develop a comprehensive rehabilitation program catering to young women trapped in the seedy underworld of Durban's sex trade. Among people who have reached out to Anchor's Hope was a 20-year-old Sam Lee, who was abducted from her Durban North brothel on January 4th, and her burned body was found on a new Hanover farm 2 days later. Sam wrote to me on September 15th asking for guidance and prayers, said Vashti Downs. Continuing her quote, she said, she shared her life story with me and also wanted to help girls who were in worse situations than her. Technically, Sam had options. At least she had a good education and lived and worked in a decent neighborhood, which is not the case with most of the other girls we work with. End quote. Downs also said that late last year that Sam advised her she had collected clothes for Hope's Anchor. Sam never got to hand them over before she was abducted and killed. Assisted by volunteers, Vashti Downs has been caring for sex workers in Durban's beachfront for 10 years now, providing counseling, food packages, clothing, and hygiene supplies. She said the number of sex workers working on the beachfront had dramatically increased in recent years. Her group now works with more than 100 young women. Now let's dance it back there, right? Worked with sex workers on the beachfront, providing counseling, okay, but food packages, clothing, and hygiene supplies, shit that cost money. And this motherfucker's a Christian. This here Christian is not showing up with fucking thoughts and prayers. This Christian motherfucker is showing up with shit that cost money. I've riffed about this before on the program. Invest in people. Like, fuck all this allyship. ally, that word don't mean a goddamn thing anyway, and it's being used improperly because ain't nobody in no motherfucking war to need no goddamn ally. If you're not shooting at anybody, you don't need a fucking ally standing behind you with a gun shooting in the same direction. There are no fucking allies because there are no fucking soldiers, all right? But people do need investors, like folks that invest in this podcast. PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And like I riffed about that, like when a new black person, as particularly a black woman, gets hired to the factory where I work, and they're going into machine work, I have tools that I already paid for that I'll give them to start them off if they don't have their own tools. Invest in folks. All right? And I'm not some rich cat, you know, but fucking, you know, got a little change in my pocket. I work 68 hours a week to have it, but I've got a little change in my pocket. So I invest. That's what she's doing, investing in folks. All right? People don't need your fucking, your Facebook thread or your hashtag Twitter tweet or your fucking, your Instagram solidarity. Fuck that. Invest. All right, we don't have much. We can only fucking care about each other, and we can only take care of each other because fucking the oppressors aren't going to do it for us. dancing it forward. Continuing a quote from Vashti Downs: many clients treat them well, but there are many sickos out there. Not a week goes by that we do not hear about rape incidents and serious abuse. And as it currently stands, men who solicit sex, many of them very rich, are never busted. Instead, it's the girls who are always judged to be at fault. They end up getting further harassed and abused at the hands of those who should be protecting them. End quote. Now, there's this is Diane Kohler Bernard, who was the Democratic Alliance's shadow deputy minister of police. And this individual says that they share the concerns of Vashti Downs about the policing of the Durban sex trade. A quote from Diane: I've studied how countries around the world deal with the sex trade. In 1999, after years of research and study, Sweden passed legislation that officially acknowledged prostitution as a form of male sexual violence against women and children, which is the Swedish model, Nordic model shit that SWERFs go for. SWERFs are SWERF, sex work exclusionary radical feminist, right? These are typically class privileged folks that that really like harming sex workers. Like, they think it's good to harm sex workers because they see sex workers as traitors to women and feminists by having sex with men for money. Mostly men. I mean, there's probably some women clients here and there. All right, dancing it forward. Here we go. Swedish law now makes it illegal to buy sex, but not to sell the use of one's body for sexual services. Variations of the Swedish model, as it is now called, have been adopted by Norway, Iceland, Canada, Northern Ireland, and France. A quote from Diane is, this is what we should also be looking at here. No, Diane. No. The article goes on to state that critics of the Swedish model argue that it is very patriarchal, places the onus on women sex workers to protect their clients from prosecution, and drives the sex trade further underground. Yep, we've said that on this program for probably about 4 years. She said, turning sex workers' clients into criminals will not help them. That's because that's the thing, is it's already criminalized to do it from their end. They're just pretending to decriminalize it for the woman. But then also with that fucking model, if you're tuning into this program for the first time, like if the sex worker rents a home or apartment or something from someone and they find out they're a sex worker, they can fucking evict them just for being a sex worker. All right, continuing on, she said the people and the law needed to accord women more needed to afford women more respect and rights. Ooh. Excuse. Quote, Although I am a Christian and my morals tell me that it is wrong to sell one's body for sex, it would be wrong for me to tell another woman she does not have the right to do so. Women are fully capable of deciding what they want to do with their lives. That is another quote from Vashti Downs. Downs said paid for sex between consenting adults was not a problem in itself. It's quote, all the other horrible stuff that goes along with the illegal sex trade, including the violent abuse, the human trafficking, and the real problems start and where good policing is required. Well, you need good police to exist to have good policing. Like, inherently, police are not good because laws are not good. Like, so, like, even if you're fucking, you know, goddamn Ned Flanders, fucking Martin Luther King, like, if you're a cop, you're by default a bad cop because you're snatching up a teenager and putting shackles on their wrist and locking them away in a rape cage because they had a reefer doobie. So, yeah, being a cop is inherently being a bad cop. By default. Fucko. Now, continuing on with the article. Amid this, Vashti Downs said her mission was to ensure that young women who had been forced by circumstance into the sex trade in order to survive were given opportunities to opt out. Quote, "Tonight, when I go down to the beachfront and one of the girls wants to get out, there is nowhere I can take her for dedicated professional help and rehabilitation." End quote. Now, Downs does hope that the city will support her vision of developing a rehabilitation program for sex workers. If they do, please have a rigorous screening process for employees there. Okay, now, responding. Oh, great, I get to pronounce this name. Responding, Etha Queeney, municipality spokesperson, Tozi Mthethwa, said the city welcomed input from civic groups working to protect the rights of sex workers. Mthethwa, seriously, the name is spelled M-T-H-E-T-H-W-A. Huh. Mthethwa added that the city was responsible for enforcing applicable laws as soon as well. Now, the KZN police spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Thulani Zwain, said that any incidents of the Durban beachfront police officers refusing to help sex workers who have been allegedly raped should be reported to the SAPS complaints hotline 079-877-6533.
I tell you, I think the racist garbage coming from the a lot of blacks right now who are just filled with bitterness and rage is just amazing to me. It is racism.
It's Tuesday, February 6, 2018.
I do not have any kind of expertise or even much layman's study of the climate change issues.
Trump withdraws nomination of climate science denier to top environmental post.
It is dry in Southern California, and we've got a drought going now, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Drought returns with a vengeance to California and the Southern U.S. ExxonMobil pulled in an extra $8 billion in profits thanks to the Republicans' tax cut. Plus, California's governor hits the accelerator on a statewide electric vehicle network.
All of that electrifying news and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It seems to me that you don't believe climate change is real.
I am uncertain.
You're uncertain.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of my time. Climate change is of course real.
Nailed it. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, this lady, Kathleen Hartnett White, was actually nominated by the White House to advise them on environmental quality?
Yes, that's right. And now her nomination has been withdrawn by the Trump White House. She was supposed to lead the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Former Texas environment official Kathleen Hartnett White got considerable backlash for her previous comments denying climate science and the benefits of pollution regulations. And in her Senate confirmation hearing back in November, her blatant lack of scientific expertise led even some Senate Republicans to question her ability to lead that science policy office. Here she is in an exchange with Democratic Senator and climate hawk Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island.
Do you think that if the ocean warms, it expands? Does the law of thermal expansion apply to seawater?
Again, I do not have any kind of expertise or even much layman study of the ocean dynamics and the climate change issues.
In other words, she's saying that she doesn't even know the basic scientific concept of whether water expands when it warms.
So I'm inclined to ask, how the hell was she nominated at all to an environmental post by the Trump administration? But I think we know the answer to that. Maybe the bigger question is, how the hell was she ever an environmental official in Texas?
Well, Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And at the time, Rick Perry was the governor.
Indeed. And as if to underscore the necessity of science-based policy in preparing for climate impacts, Cape Town, South Africa, on the precipice of being the first major city in the world to run out of water due to the worst drought in more than 100 years. City officials this week have cut in half the individual daily water allowance for the city's 4 million residents, but they have put off day zero until May, for now, thanks to cuts in agricultural allotments to farms.
Day zero, meaning the day they run out of water in Cape Town, South Africa, completely?
That's right.
Man.
In other news, thanks to that deficit-exploding tax cut passed by Republicans and signed by Donald Trump, ExxonMobil is going to pull in nearly $7 billion in extra profits this year. According to the Houston Chronicle, Exxon's fourth quarter profits for 2017 more than quadrupled over the same period last year, boosted by the tax cut bill, despite an overall decline in Exxon's actual oil production. Without the tax cuts, Exxon's fourth quarter profits would have fallen below this time last year.
Profits would have fallen, but they would still be making huge profits whether they had gotten smaller or not.
Indeed, they would.
And now they're getting huger again.
Yes, they are.
Congratulations, ExxonMobil.
Back to California, it's headed into another drought, according to federal officials, as precipitation has fallen far below normal during what is supposed to be the state's rainy season, with snowpack near historic lows that were set during the state's historic drought back in 2015. The U.S. Drought Monitor also reported that drought has returned with a vengeance to nearly half of the United States. 40% of the nation is now in moderate to severe drought, with the worst conditions hitting the southern and western parts of the country. But finally, some good news for California. Governor Jerry Brown has issued an executive order greatly expanding the state's electric vehicle infrastructure, tapping billions of dollars in revenue raised from polluting industries in the state's cap-and-trade emissions program. California will now invest $2.5 billion to build 250,000 charging stations and 200 hydrogen refueling stations by 2025. They'll also increase consumer rebates for pollution-free electric vehicles, with a goal of reaching 5 million zero-emissions vehicles in the state by 2030. At least 35% of the investments are designated for low-income communities.
Nice. Come on out to California. Enjoy an electric car, but please bring your own water. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
All right, so now Phoenix Cleeter is sitting in on this one here with the Rose McGowan and Andy Loco. And so here's that that audio ripped from the video, and I'll try to remember to go ahead and post the video to the website with the episode. All right, so let's see. So you set this up. Who is this white woman?
So that is Rose McGowan. She is an actress. She was she was the girl who got killed, one of the girls from Scream who got killed. She was in that show Charmed. She, you know, has just been around Hollywood for a while, and then she kind of faded out, and then it turns out that, I guess Harvey Weinstein kind of fucked up her career because he raped her, and then did, like, a low-key cash settlement so she wouldn't tell anybody. But then, of course, after Me Too started kicking off, she started talking about it because the sexual assault rape happened a few years ago in a hotel room, so... And now she's just kind of like basically being the face of the hashtag Me Too, going around speaking about women's rights and sexual harassment and sexual abuse in Hollywood and things like that. And it's, I mean, it's always good when people talk about rape culture, but it's very white. It's very, like, Hollywood specific. It's not exactly intersectional, but, you know, so that's what she's doing. And then there have been questions lately about her mental health, you know, with what everything that's gone on. She seems to be getting progressively more and more unhinged. She said that she was arrested because she was talking about Me Too. She thinks that people are out to kill her, like Harvey Weinstein has hired, like, assassins or something to find her. So there's a lot happening right now.
I seriously did not know any of these things.
Yeah.
Like, take it all the way back to when you said she was on television. I didn't know that. I don't know any of these things about these white people. And it's not like I don't know all white people, okay? Polly Wally Ryan boy, I know that he was John Boehner's little boy. And John Boehner made him do whatever the fuck he wanted to. I know that, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. All right, so,
Wait, you never even heard of the show Charmed?
Man, I'm really black, man, and I'm pretty cool. Like, and that doesn't sound very cool.
And that doesn't sound very cool.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Doesn't.
And oh, also, congratulations. Y'all get to hear my, like, super raspy voice. I sound like I'm doing, like, an Ursula impression or something, because I'm sick. So enjoy that, you poor unfortunate souls.
That's clear. Sounds clear. Let's take a look here, and I don't know who this white trans woman is.
Yes,
like I don't know who she is beyond this video clip. All right, so it starts out with the audio low, and you can't really hear the white trans woman.
We get raped more often. We go to domestic violence more often.
Okay, so she's talking about trans women get domestic violence more often, so rape more often.
So have I. We're the same. My point was we are the same. There's an entire show called ID Channel, a network dedicated 24 hours a day to women getting abused, murdered, sexualized, and violated. And you are too, sister.
And trans it's women the same. Domestic violence, and you do nothing for them. Trans women are in men's prisons. And what have you done for them?
We've covered that on the Wine Cellar. Some of that audio I had on the SoundCloud, and I got rid of the SoundCloud so I can actually put that back up. A black trans woman that's in a men's prison, I think, in Georgia. So that's pretty real shit that she's spitting right there.
Right.
Fact-based facts, if you will. Which Becker Loco, educator, told her students that one day. She said you need fact-based facts.
Yeah. Not alternative facts. Fact-based facts.
Yes, reality-based truths.
Yes.
Let's see. Continuing on.
What have you done for women?
Lots of things.
Now, that's one of those things where it's like, you're gonna show up and grab the mic. You gotta be ready to answer that basic of a question.
Yeah.
Like, lots of things, not much of an answer.
Right, and I think that part of that, too, is everyone is so... So everyone wants to be heard so much that they're not necessarily trying to have a conversation. It's about being heard as much as possible. But you got to make sure that you practice your bars before you show up to the event.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if you can't freestyle, don't freestyle. Just do written rhymes. All right.
I've done lots of things too. You don't know my life. Don't sit down. Sit down.
Now that I wouldn't come at somebody like that with the "you don't know my life, sit down."
That's a very white thing to say. Like, I'm going to call your manager.
Yeah, and sitting in that chair like it's a throne. Like I couldn't.
Yeah, I don't like the sit down. It conveys a tone, and I'm not comfortable with it.
Sit down.
Whew. No, I'm not telling someone else to sit down like that. Another blue-collar working-class person like me, no. A trans woman, absolutely not. Cis white woman, maybe. Cis white man, probably. Mm. Phoenix thinks I shouldn't. She's like, he's a grown man. You can't call him boy.
I just try to be polite, and you're like, fuck the rules of polite society.
Polite society? You mean the one where there's fucking Proud Boy fight clubs? Shit.
Walking down the grocery store, why are the monkeys so big out here?
Fucking monkeys. Polite society, Miss Ma'am.
Enough!
Don't
get lost!
I am a woman and trans woman!
Congratulations! So am I!
It said it's the AIDS crisis all over again, which I get the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not exactly the same. That's a disease that that fucks up your immune system, so you fucking die slow from other shit and wither away, and you have fucking like open cold sores on your body, and people think it's airborne and want to burn your house down. Not the same.
Not exactly the same, but no, I get that because it's just so stigmatized that nobody ever delves into the truth of things because it's automatically like, you know, trans women are just men in dresses. That's the whole discussion. Like, that's not really the whole discussion, but okay.
And what about my niggas that's trans men?
Those don't even exist.
Right, no, I...
But they're just butch lesbians, really. Like, that's... But no, I think, you know, like, I get the stigmatism. And, you know, so we don't talk about the issues. We don't talk about people, but, you know. And then, of course, I, you know, because AIDS was... It was the gay disease.
Yeah, niggers and niggers and queers.
Yes, and I think that's... a lot of that crossover comes with the, you know, transphobia is that... It's a gay thing, because it's, again, just men in dresses, which means they must be gay, so obviously the trans community is a bunch of pedophilic gay people, obviously. Yeah.
And which it's either it's those gay people and their gay lifestyle, or you come over to where we are, throw a little melanin on it, and it's the white supremacist conspiracy to effeminize the black male.
Yeah, because you know how feminine Wesley Snipes is.
Yeah. Everybody knows that. Even New Young, like, look at Ice Cube's son.
Oh, yeah, he's very, very feminine.
Yeah, New Young one's coming up. Migos, High Femme.
Actually, I think one of them probably should be.
Should be, does not is. Damn. All right, that sentence is archived.
Should be is?
Should be, does not is. That's good. Yeah. A professor's gonna quote that one day.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, this is the era of Trump. You do have the best words, the bigliest words, the, you know.
Fuck, man. He's such a bad speaker. Okay.
Ugh.
Come here. The video clip isn't even halfway over. It gets whiter. It gets Beckier. She Beckies the fuck up. All right.
This is, like, I think we need something more than Becky, because it goes past Becky. Like, she... It's an Emily.
It's an Emily?
It's an Emily.
Woo! Graduate... And, okay, folks, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, the reason why I thought we were just going to bounce back and forth between Emily and Becky, but apparently Emily is a matriculation.
Yes.
Is because Elon James White, Obamacrat-ass nigga to the core... He's a buck dancing Negro bed boy, and fucking he married a white woman with a face, and her family's racist as all shit, and he dealt with that, and then he basically made a tweet about it.
A tweet thread. It wasn't just a tweet. It was the whole damn story.
A Twitter thread, and then pulled it, and then said that, like, while he's dealing with his white wife's, that woman with that face, and her racist white family, that black women emotionally support him? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, he was basically saying, like, they wouldn't, her family wouldn't let him come to, like, Thanksgiving dinner because he was black. So he would go cry to his black female friends, who would then, like, it's okay, and give him the emotional support. And then he married the white woman. And he was like, black women are awesome because they did all this free emotional labor for me when my wife's family wanted to lynch me.
And our episode covering that is called Elon James Publishes His Buck Dancing Manifesto. Yeah. It's pretty funny episode.
It is funny. So that's an Emily. When you're pulling, because then she got on Twitter to defend him. So that was the Beyond Becky. So Beyond Becky is Emily.
And then they both locked their Twitters down and Elon quit podcasting.
So sad.
Yeah, he just fucking quit. Because I'm still subscribed. I'm like, damn, what the fuck? Like, I almost want to just fucking subscribe to his Patreon for 1 month just to see how he defended himself privately.
You know what? I bet you we know somebody who's on that Patreon who could give it to us. That's how we got that stuff from, what's his face?
Yo.
We still have to go through those. I'm sorry, I've been trying. That is the most uncharismatic shit I've ever heard in my life. I'm trying, though.
Fucking, the black guy who tips?
Whew.
That shit is boring. And that nigga giving away used socks as gifts to people that support the show.
He did it.
But fucking, yeah, man, some of y'all niggas is on that fucking Elon, Patreon shit, nigga. Yo, how did that nigga defend himself to a private audience? I must know. And yeah, I'll publish the screenshots. I don't care. I don't respect him. Fucking, alright, so let's see Becky go full Emily. And on the way, as security's taking her out, like we said in the article, she's chanting white cis feminism. Alright, let's see.
You're so boring.
I like that. Domestic violence, rape. Ugh, right. You're so boring.
And shut up. Shut up. Like, I mean, I can understand being frustrated that you're speaking and somebody just, like, you know, comes up and starts yelling at you. But she was talking about trans women being raped. Like, you're boring and shut up is maybe not the most appropriate response. Just saying.
Boring. Shut up. Which also shows something I've been saying, man. Like, when I remember, like, I heard an audio clip some years ago that reminded me of a song that is kind of omnipresent in McMurkin culture as a whole. Girls just want to have fun.
Yes.
It's like, no. White women just want to have fun.
Yes.
All the fuck damn time. Yeah. And then think about it. White men, white people just want to have fun. Like, it. Like, I think that was said about Donald Trump in that book that just came out, that just, like, he can't stand to be bored, which is why he skips and leaves meetings early.
It must be nice to be white, and you just get to have fun because you're entitled to it.
If you're one of the white people that actually takes advantage of it, like, I remember, like, I as I started to go into my 20s, and I'd be in Orlando, Florida, and I'd see, like, a tall, homeless white man, you know, walking up, all his fingers and toes work. And I'm just like, what did you do? You're a white man in the South, and you're tall. Why aren't you the man right now? Why aren't you general manager of the location at the place doing the thing?
Probably couldn't get medical treatment at the VA.
And there also, now there could be mental ableism afoot. Anything other than that, you're not trying as a white man. You're not putting in the white effort.
No, there is something to that, though. Because, I mean, how many studies they do, like, you know, black college graduates make as much as, like, white male high school graduates and shit.
Yeah.
Like, white men get hired straight the fuck out of prison for, like, felonies, and black people can't get hired after misdemeanors and shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah, the cat that my biological sister was married to, a white man, and like, he was in for like 7 years.
Damn.
And he just goes into warehouse gigs and gets hired to management level for like 75 a year.
What?
Yeah, he gets hired at that level.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
And he was in a pen for selling crack. And he got out. Ain't that nice?
Speaking of which...
And he didn't need Obama to get out.
If we do another segment, I have a story about that in the show notes thread.
All right.
Enjoy the white privilege.
All right. Damn, we're going to get through this this Emily-ass video. Yeah,
I think we're just procrastinating because we know what's coming.
Let's let it rock.
Don't label me, sister. Don't put your labels on me. Don't you fucking do that.
There's a then there's also the threat in the tone, that like that sort of I'ma come beat your ass threat. Like even that was like gross. Okay, get through the video.
Do not put your label on me. I don't come from your planet. Leave.
And then also, cis, that's just the differentiation is all.
Right.
Like if you're bothered by cis, it's because you hate trans people.
Basically.
Leave me alone. I do not subscribe to your rules. I do not subscribe to your language. You do not put labels on me or anybody. Step the fuck back.
Now, I noticed something there because I'm looking at the video and playing the audio on the podcast that she was she was doing that finger in the wind politics shit. And when the crowd started clapping, she jumped out of her seat and then played heavier faux outrage.
Oh, you think that's what she was doing?
Yeah.
I thought she was just waiting until they took the trans woman out. And then it was like, I'm going to talk mad shit now. You not here, nigga.
Well, she already had security on her side. She protected. She a white woman.
Yeah, but she waited until the trans woman was physically gone before, like, I'm going to talk mad shit now. Like, oh. I see you.
It looked like crowd response.
It could be. It could very well be. Maybe a little bit of both.
Get you a Becky who can do both.
Emily.
What I do is for the fucking world, and you should be fucking grateful.
So what she does is for the fucking world, and you should be fucking grateful. The whole world.
We have now hit Emily status.
The world.
The fucking white saviorishness of this.
The world.
Okay.
I had no idea that I had my McGowan check coming in the mail.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody does. You know that's why she's like an icon in Kenya. Everybody loves her there. She builds wells.
And unpause, just like that. Back to Becky. Emily.
So shut the fuck up.
All right. That's a good way to restart it.
Woo.
Get off my back. What have you done?
Which also that level of whiteness of I've done stuff. I'm not going to say what it was, but I have done a lot and you should be thanking me.
And not just, but for the world.
For the world.
Like, like no droughts, no famines, none of that shit's happening because she's done stuff for the world.
We are the children.
Climate change ain't even happening no more. She's done stuff for the world. Love you. Beautiful.
I'm not worried, I'm fucking mad for life.
And people in the crowd are saying, we love you, don't worry about her. And she's saying, I'm not mad, I'm mad, I ain't worried, I'm mad about the lies.
Fucking mad for lies. I'm mad at the stereotypes. I'm mad that you put shit on me because I have a fucking vagina and I'm white or I'm black or I'm yellow or I'm purple. Fuck off.
I don't know if you knew that. On Monday, she's white. Tuesday, she's black. Wednesday, she's yellow. Thursday, she's purple. Friday is casual. Polka dot, nigga.
Polka dot.
Polka dot.
What color polka dot?
Green. Green background.
Okay.
Purple polka dots. That's up top.
Mm-hmm.
Plaid uh-huh. on the bottom.
Okay.
Rainbow.
Rainbow
shoes,
plaid?
Stripes. Rainbow plaid material flannel.
It sounds like she got lost in a Barnum and Bailey clown tent.
That's fun. Put bottle rockets in her pockets. Bottle rockets in all your pockets. I'll tell you what, boy, that's a political campaign right there.
A bottle rocket for every pocket.
That sounds outstanding. It sounds like a gun metaphor, really. Bottle rocket for every pocket. All right. So apparently she's all these things, and she's done stuff for the world. Let's give that a running start and see where this goes.
Or I'm yellow, or I'm purple. Fuck off! All of us want to say it. I just do. God damn.
All right. So cut short. Okay. So now she's sitting in a chair. They're taking pictures. Microphone's still on, so she probably has something very articulate coming up.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Women do know. That's why they keep quiet for so long. It takes so much fucking energy. And for you stand up, thank you.
Trans women, what I've tried and been trying to say is that it's actually identical. The stats are not that dissimilar. You break it down, it is a much fucking smaller population. There's not a network, however, devoted to your fucking death.
So she said trans women and cis women face things exact identical stats. I don't actually know. I don't know. I have no access to no stats.
I don't have access to stats off the top of my head, but I would think trans women face higher rates of homelessness, joblessness, and probably sexual assault. Domestic violence stats might be close, but I mean, we...
The words are coming out of your face and they sound reasonable, but you're not white, so you can't possibly know. You don't have that look on your...
I can't possibly know things.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that we... And then, of course, even, like, if you're doing a cis-trans comparison, you still have to do a biracial breakdown.
Oh.
You know, because, like, even as far as cis women go, like, Native women and Latina women and Black women are victimized at far higher rates. So, like, I don't know what, like, a white trans woman would go through versus a Black cis woman, but I'm sure a Black trans woman would definitely go through more than a white cis woman. By both being trans and Black, so...
Well, you see, that's the thing, though. She's also Black.
She's also Black and purple and yellow.
And considering that when she's Black and purple and yellow, that is a transition.
That's
so
what
she's
it is.
Trans and Black and white and cis. And she does things for the world.
Yes.
Get off her back.
Get off her back. Well, I just figure if she can do all that, she can handle me sitting on her back. She has a strong-ass fucking back, man.
I wouldn't, because I don't want to come... Again, only one white woman's allowed to hug me. You think I'm going to go sit on another one's back? No. It's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then I'm irritated by her obsession with ID channel. Of like, that you don't have your own channel. Like, well, maybe we would if people cared when trans people got killed. Like, we should have a fucking ID channel for Black women. We should have an ID channel for Native women. We should have an ID channel for trans women. What the fuck?
No, instead we have privately owned social media accounts that get banned.
We're all the same.
There's not advertisers advertising tampons as a camera goes lovingly up a girl's body as she's being fucking raped and strangled. Piss off.
Wait, what did that... Where did that one come from?
I think she, mixed up three sentences in her head. I think she was talking about hypersexualization of feminine hygiene product sales, but then also in, modeling and things like that, it's very common with, high-end fashion models for, perfume and $800 shoes and things like that. The ad campaigns are very, very rooted in sexual violence. Like, there was one that was, I think, for shoes, and it was literally, a woman's legs hanging out of the back of a trunk like she was a dead body in there. There was one that was for perfume, and it had men around her, and it looked like she was about to be gang raped. Like, that's a very common trope in high-end advertising.
I think I saw one of those.
Yeah, they're fucking creepy to me.
But you see how not often I see commercials. We were watching Lucifer, and I was like, holy shit, there's a commercial for that? What is that?
Well, I think that's the thing, too, is it's less commercials and more about, print ads, in magazines and shit.
Huh.
Yeah. But, I mean...
You can't have a cigarette ad, but you can have a rape ad.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's see where else is. It's almost over.
And until you can collect that fucking check, back up.
No, but peep what she did there. What she said is that she was talking about tampon commercials and said, until you can collect that check back up. At what point would anybody ever market tampons to a trans woman, though?
And also, she just basically said, hey, trans woman, here's another job you can't have. Add that to your unemployment stats. Because she just said, until you can collect that check, back the fuck up. Yeah. Okay. And to have a rich person say that.
Yeah.
A rich person saying, hey, until you can get that money that's less than mine, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's... And then, of course, that's the thing, too, though, is that there has been a push to get more trans women into modeling or more center stage, and it's being fought every step of the way. So you want to be like, well, you're not being exploited by, modeling agencies, and you're not here, and you're not present for this. It's like, well, trans women are trying to have their faces there. You just don't want them. But okay.
Well, and anything you do, everybody under capitalism is being exploited. No one gives you a check that's bigger than their check.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, your check is never bigger than the company's profits. If you're in capitalism and you're not the ownership, you're being exploited, fucko. Welcome to it.
unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit biting Phoenix. Try to be thin, we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make his soul sizzle. And I attack him with the fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the heel top, so I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestapedia. For now I gotta deal with the social media. Different day but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the clan?
Something about you was seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
Black identity extremist. So we like pop-ups and we like a bunch of advertisements. So we're pulling an article off of AtlantaBlackStar.com. and this is posted up by David Love, February 5th, 2018. And we're recording this episode February 6th, so we're on the fucking ball.
Woohoo!
Dadgum, 6 months after the FBI issued a report inventing from whole cloth the term black identity extremists, claiming this group poses a terrorist threat to police, the first apparent case of prosecution of a BIE has emerged. The BIE designation has created concern in the black community that the FBI is launching a new COINTELPRO program targeting black activists. I wonder how Melissa Harris Perry would defend this one. Again, Melissa Harris Perry is pro-surveillance.
If you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have anything to worry about, obviously.
All right, now, so it's COINTELPRO targeting black activists who have committed no crimes, with more arrest and, and prosecutions of those involved in racial justice movements follow. Now the latest chapter presents the FBI that has been familiar to black people for decades. While the Bureau only recently created the term black identity extremist, its methods, tactics, and orientation remain the same with regards to black activists. The FBI has a long tradition of treating black political movements as terrorists and enemies of the state. Wonder why?
Oh, because we are enemies of the state.
Yeah, a conservative, white male-dominated organization, the FBI always has taken its cues from anti-black right-wing propagandists. No! They take their cues from what America fucking is, an anti-black corporate state. Anti-black corporate state. Anti-black corporate state. Keep up. On December 12th, 2017, in Dallas, Christopher Daniels, also known as Rakem Balogun. Is that like his Hotep name? Is that his school for boys?
Rakem Balogun. He probably practices some sort of African spirituality.
Okay. Rakem Balogun, Christopher Daniels, was arrested during a raid on his home and charged with the unlawful possession of a firearm, the result of more than 2 years of FBI surveillance, as Foreign Policy reported federal agents held Daniels outside in his undershorts and seized two firearms the government claims he is barred from owning due to a 2007 misdemeanor domestic assault conviction in Tennessee. Among other items FBI agents took from Daniel's home was a copy of the book Negroes with Guns. Next one they're gonna be like, and they confiscated their smartphone where they subscribed to a podcast that talks about hashtag good cops.
Yeah.
She was reading a blog by Phoenix Kaliter.
We should totally make a rap group called Negroes with Guns. That would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, until we get shot by white people.
We're going to get shot by white people anyway, so I mean...
Yeah, strong chance.
Might as well have some fun until the day comes. Oof.
Man, I need to go to that Best Buy and fucking harass that Nazi.
Oh my God, really?
There's a Nazi that works at a Best Buy out here, and I think it's interesting, and I just want to ask him, like, what's it like to be a retail Nazi? What's it like to be a Nazi that makes less money than the Negro that comes in and purchases things here?
It's going to be really awkward if he's just a hipster.
That would also be funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that might be really awkward.
That adds to the comedy. That's a segment right there.
Whew.
He will be on the podcast. Now, skibidoo, flip, bopa, dipa, doop, doop, doo. And that book, Negroes with Guns, is by Robert F. Williams. Robert F. Williams was the first black leader of his era to support armed resistance to racial oppression following the Supreme Court's 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision.
Can I nitpick a little bit on that?
No.
Too bad. the first one to support armed defense? Nigga, Nat Turner been happened.
Whoa.
Okay.
You just making stuff vertical. So the second one to support armed defense since the Brown versus Board of Education decision, Williams had revived the Monroe, North Carolina chapter of the NAACP and the Ku Klux Klan violence. In response to assaults on black women that were ignored by police, he organized the black workers and veterans. Nobody wants to say the word rape. And this is Atlanta Black Star. Yeah. This is like conservative black men talking about white supremacy, and they still will not use the word rape. Can't do it. The group repelled Klan violence against integration and protected the Freedom Riders. Mr. Williams also internationalized. All right, I like that word. Internationalized the black struggle as he and his family lived in Cuba, where he wrote his book and produced Radio Free Dixie. Also, he was a podcaster.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Fun. China for a number of years. Quote, I advocated violent self-defense because I don't really think you can have a defense against violent racists and against terrorists unless you are prepared to meet violence with violence. And my policy was to meet violence with violence. That is very, very blunt.
I like it.
Very straightforward.
I like it.
It's a little on the nose. Mr. Williams, forefather of the Black Power Movement and the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. The Huey P. Newton Gun Club, a pro-Ebron Carey group of which Daniels is a founder, tweeted that black political activists are being criminalized. Here is a embedded tweet. Black activists are under surveillance by the FBI from Dallas to Detroit to South Carolina. Our political activity, when conducted within the law, is being criminalized. End tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had mad commentary.
No, I mean... You don't need as much commentary when people are just saying the truth.
I thought you were going to commensulate.
That's not a word.
Yeah, work on it. Ooh, where's this going? Okay, let's see. So, according to the foreign policy, the FBI became interested in Daniels in 2015 from a video of him participating in a police brutality protest, which was posted on the right-wing conspiracy theory website InfoWars. Alex Jones...
Fucking A.
People should really stop calling that a conspiracy theory website. Stop calling Alex Jones a conspiracy theorist. Alex Jones is... the extension of the John Birch Society and a neo-Confederate white supremacist. This is how you accurately describe him.
I think that, well, I mean, we've said it before, but I'll say it again. We keep running into this problem that they're like, oh my God, look at Alex Jones. He said lizard people. Ha ha. Crazy man. Funny conspiracy theory. He pushes white supremacist propaganda like a motherfucker, okay? You cannot sleep on these people.
And that's what I was just doing last night. You were sitting up there with me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through. I just feel like going through some of Alex Jones' 2015 shit.
Yeah.
And here we go. Some 2015 shit then, from Alex Jones.
Of course, remember, too, Alex Jones just did the thing about lizard people. And then we covered that story. I want to know if that guy listens to Alex Jones. The guy who was, like, high and had, you know, like, basically a mental break. And was out in traffic looking for the lizard people because they were kidnapping Trump's family and he had to save them. Remember? Like, yeah. Or the fucking Pizzagate thing. Alex Jones pushed Pizzagate. All of a sudden, niggas showing up with fucking AR-15s and shit trying to free the child sex slaves that don't exist. Y'all need to stop sleeping on him because he gives you funny clips on Right Wing Watch. He's fucking dangerous.
Yeah, I tell you, I fucking know, because I used to, when I did not work the same kind of hours, and I could listen to podcasts most of the day at work, I listened to all 3 hours of his show every fucking day, all 3 hours, and I'd analyze it and pay attention to what this fucker is saying, and then when it moved to 4 hours, I still listened to the three, because the fourth hour was just his cronies having a chat session, and fuck that. Oh, and I also listened to his Sunday 2 hour show as well. So, like, I've got a lot of hours of Alex Jones analysis under the bizelt. All right, so, Alex Jones, out of Austin, with a radio and TV show host who runs InfoWars, is a, quote, valuable asset to the Trump administration. Trump uses the conspiracy theorist, no, neo-Confederate white supremacist, John Birch Society extension, as a news source, reportedly called Jones 3 times in recent months, and has praised Jones and his amazing reputation. Jones has claimed that Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting and Boston Marathon bombings were inside jobs and hoaxes. No, he didn't call either of them inside jobs. He called them both
false flags.
And false flags, that just means, like, they let it happen. Not that it's, like, an FBI guy went and did it, and then they said it was this guy. It's like, no, what he's saying when he does that is he's saying that they knew it was going to happen, and they ignored it. That's mm-hmm. what... Well, and I'm being fair, if you will, because that's the definition that he put out himself.
Right. And then, of course, with that, though, too, that also just feeds into his whole thing, because... That's the thing he keeps, is Antifa is race traitors, the liberal left is race traitors, and they want Muslims in to control everything, so they're starting to commit acts on white people to get us desensitized to terrorism. If you listen to him, he says that a lot. Yeah.
They go on to a little bit more of what Jones has said, that President Obama was not born in the United States, and the government is making gay people... which there's overlap with Hoteps in that with mm-hmm. him, and because like what they're saying is they tested it on frogs,
yeah,
and like the frogs would change their gender, and then so they put it in human water, and then it makes people gay and or transgender,
right?
And then there's Hoteps that think that's why there's black transgender folks, because they're fucking full of shit.
Yes.
Let's see. FBI surveillance of Mr. Daniels, another activist, extended to Detroit and South Carolina. I feel like I said those two words too many times now. The FBI claims that Daniels openly and publicly advocates violence toward law enforcement. I have. On his Facebook profile and posted words of admiration of Mika X. Johnson, who killed 5 Dallas police officers in 2016, and Tremaine Wilburn, who was accused of killing a cop in Memphis, Tennessee. That the FBI learned of Daniels through the right-wing propaganda outlets such as InfoWars is instructive, demonstrating that the Bureau is politicized and not in a manner in which Trump and his supporters believe it is. Trump loyalists such as Representative Devin Nunes, Republican from California, attack the FBI for its alleged surveillance abuses in the Russia investigation, but because the agency poses a danger to an authoritarian president who disrespects the rule of law and a system of checks and balances and is concerned with little more than his own power and ego. Rather, the FBI is responding to pressure from the right, monitoring for 2 years a black activist with an 11-year-old misdemeanor conviction to prosecute him for a federal gun charge. This targeting of Mr. Daniels reflects the inherent racial bias of the FBI organizational culture, a culture that has that also finds virtually all shootings by federal agents justified and classified all victims of justified homicide by police officers as felons. If convicted, Mr. Daniels could face up to 10 years in prison. And I do remember, I think it was early 2014, that the report came out that the FBI found not virtually all, but 100% of the 2013 murders legit.
And that was, of course, a few years after they put out a report saying white supremacists had infiltrated law enforcement.
Which, my response to that is probably predictable. That's always been law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't have to infiltrate shit. Law enforcement was already white supremacist, fucko.
Indeed.
All right. What else is happening?
Oh, do you want to do this one? Just because we kind of teased it a little bit?
No, shit, I did. I fucking teased it.
Well, I mean, it was New on Jersey? Topic of what we were talking about.
What's this guy's deal?
It was on topic of a tangent.
This guy's having a good time.
Yeah.
It's a New Jersey feller.
Uh-huh.
He's into making buildings. Yes. Like, he does the architect. I mean, he has bricks. Apparently, he has a great deal of bricks. And if you have bricks, you obviously make buildings, right? The bricks.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
You're telling me that this guy with all these bricks isn't a carpenter.
He's not a carpenter.
All right, when this article says he's a carpenter, you're going to feel real crunchy.
All right, when it doesn't say he's a carpenter, you owe me a pack of red vines.
Article put up by Adam Hochran for NewJersey1015.com. Tom's River, which is a horrible name. It really is T-O-M-S.
I know.
Tom's River, an admitted drug dealer.
Oh, huh. Architect, you say.
That's a hardcore start to the article.
Carpenter, you claim.
Yeah.
Mm.
Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay.
That means he has a lot of pins and he drives a car. And he won't let you deter him.
I didn't have to deter him. Law enforcement deterred him. But not really.
So Tom's River, an admitted drug dealer who was caught with about 4,150 doses of heroin worth of 25,000 doll hairs, was sentenced to just 6 months in rehab and 5 years probation. That's outstanding. That's fucking amazing.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. It was something about somebody who did drugs and got out.
Sold crack.
Oh, sold crack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, here you go.
Okay.
Apparently heroin's not even as bad as crack. Fuck that opioid epidemic.
Okay, it's not his name. This is the name of the town.
Oh,
it's Tom's
yes.
River.
Yes.
So his name is Gary Fox, and he's a 30-year-old individual who has a criminal record that includes
this just keeps getting better.
Has a criminal record, got arrested with 83 bricks, and they said, nah. Sometimes you gotta... What is that? Not probate, rehab. Yeah, you rehabilitate them from being a drug dealer? Nigga, my nigga. What's really good? Okay. A criminal record that includes previous drug convictions.
Convictions?
Plural. Plural. Three strikes law don't matter when you're Gary Fox. Whew. He avoided prison by being accepted by drug court and pleading guilty to 2 counts of third-degree possession with intent to distribute and a count of possession.
How the fuck do you have that much heroin and only plead to 2 counts? What the fuck?
Because he was double-checking. I don't know. I don't know. Because he's white and man, the two things that count. That's why it's two counts.
That's why it's 2 counts.
Fucking shit.
Woo.
This is fun. Goddamn.
Yes.
The inconsistency of the decibels bothers me.
Oh.
All right, so the drug courts, part of Governor Chris Christie's reform efforts in the wake of a massive heroin addiction epidemic gripping the state, are meant to provide drug users with rehabilitation instead of placing them behind bizarres. Drug courts, however, are not for violent or hardened criminals. The courts found Mr. Fox eligible for the program, and he began rehab in November, remaining in custody until his guilty plea in January, and the prosecutors said that. And the court records show that he spent 168 days in jail. Damn, it's only 150 days in a school year. This nigga had a school year with snow days in jail.
Yeah.
And it says...
Or just no spring break and no Christmas break, really.
Toms River police arrested Mr. Fox in May, saying he had 80 wax folds of heroin and $740 in cash. A search of his storage unit found an additional 83 bricks of heroin, which amounted to 4,150 doses and a cash value of $25,000, police said at the time. You think maybe he rolled over on somebody? Maybe he snitched on a supplier.
I mean, he might have snitched, but still.
Yeah.
Probation?
83 of whatever the fuck. I don't have drug dealer knowledge, so I don't know what the weight is of a brick. But assuming just the fact that it's called a brick, it didn't get that nickname for no reason.
Right.
Not because it's a fucking gram.
And then also, if he snitched on somebody, how come he's not in protection? Because if you have that much heroin... Your supplier is like somebody.
Yeah, we need to follow up on this story and cover his funeral. Fucking a month later, police at the Old Street home found another 40 wax fulls of heroin and more than 1.5 pounds of marijuana's, $2,000 in cash, prescription medications, a scale for packaging materials. Mr. Fox was initially charged with possession of heroin with intent to distribute, possession of over 50 grams of marijuana, possession of marijuana with intent to distribute, possession of alprazolam and subazone, and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Wait, he went from all that to two charges?
He pled guilty to two counts of third-degree possession with intent to distribute and one count of possession. So, you know what they did? He got him to fucking compact all of those into one charge instead of each drug being a separate nigger charge.
Oh, so, okay. But that's still three charges. And he has previous convictions, so still no three strikes?
Hmm?
Huh?
What?
Like, where's Jeff Sessions? Shouldn't Jeff Sessions be out? He hates weed.
They're not three strikes. Too many niggers play baseball, so he fucking... He got two touchdowns.
Field goal, nigga. Did he?
I think so, yeah.
He did, actually. Yeah, he did.
Police on Tuesday said they could not provide more details about the investigation. And this is not the first time Mr. Fox has been sentenced to rehab as a result of drug charges.
Oh my god!
Holy shit.
Oh my god!
In 2009, he received the same sentence from a different judge in Ocean County for arrest in 2006 and 7 on charges of possession of cocaine and Percocet.
What the fuck, man?
Mr. Fox is represented by the Public Defender's Office. He got all that shit with a public defender.
How did he do that with a public defender?
White boy magic, nigga.
Fucking Pookie been locked up for 99 since 99 for having 3 pounds of weed.
Holy
shit, fuck,
man. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Whew.
And so we did all that, but I need to look up the story. Someone messaged me on Reading in the Shade asking me to look up a story or cover a story, which we will. I just need to research it more. About a teen who brought a loaded gun into a restaurant, got arrested, and got 10 years in state prison because he had a gun. Yeah, yeah. The prosecutor asked for 5 years, but the judge gave him 10 because he's a threat to society. This nigga, however...
Or remember Steubenville, the rape squad, and the guy from Anonymous that hacked us, essentially hacked the town of Steubenville.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker got more years than the rapist. I think he got a dime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to it, man.
Anglo-Saxon jurisprudence.
Freedom and justice for all.
Jeff, man. Nah, like my nigga, I forgot his name, but he was in high school, at Stadium High School, and he would do the Pledge of Allegiance, but he would change the words.
What he say? Wait, what he say?
Liberty and justice for white folks, and that's all. And he said it very loud every day, and I liked it. He's a nice guy. Afro.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
All right, so fucking, is that about it?
I think so. You watch Frasier?
I think I would dig it. I just never checked it out.
Frasier's dad died last night. John Mahoney, he played Frasier's dad on the show.
And Frasier was a stand-up comedian that got a show after his name, right?
I think Frasier was originally a character on the show Cheers.
Huh.
And then he got a spinoff eventually after Cheers, I think.
I totally thought that fucker was a stand-up comedian.
Oh, he might be, but his actual name is Kelsey Grammer. Frasier was the character.
Oh, shit. Am I just mixing him up? Do I just think that he looks like Jim Gaffigan? Am I mixing up my big white men? Big yellow-headed white men?
Doesn't look like Jim Gaffigan.
So you're saying I think all white people look alike?
Yeah, I am.
You're saying I'm reverse racist?
Yeah.
How damn.
And yet here we are.
Fucking paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineSellerMediaFund. We are 5 months out, folks. 5 months out of Phoenix Kalita doing this full time and leaving that office jizzob.
Woohoo! Oh, one more thing. If y'all saw that viral video going around of the child sexual abuse, the guy is in custody and so was his wife because she was helping him cover it up, but they have been arrested, so. Yeah.
Well, fuck. What is that, briefly?
Yeah. So basically, there was a video going around various social media websites of a man who is, like, in his 40s, and a 12, 13-year-old girl was performing oral sex on him.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and people were sharing it, and, like, I couldn't get down the street. Anyways, so his wife was helping obstruct justice and trying to get rid of evidence. She got arrested. He got arrested. They're in custody. And the child is safe.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, yeah. Fucking paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineSellTheMediaFund. People were just sharing the damn video. I gotta hit stop.
Yeah.